Hi, this is Daniel Garber, and I'm here every Friday morning reviewing movies for culturalmining.com and Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM. We're at the hottest time of the year, the dog days of summer, and with all this sticky, sultry weather, some people get boiled into limp submission, and others just boil over. This week there was a Johnny Paycheck at JetBlue Airlines who'd had it. After being bonked on the head by a falling piece of luggage, he took to the airplane mic and mouthed the equivalent of the old 70s country song, "Take this job and shove it, I ain't working anymore." The flight attendant, Stephen Slater, activated the airplane emergency slide, grabbed a couple of cans of beer, and slid away. They're already calling him a folk hero, someone who went with his feelings. Well, there are some movies opening this weekend, a lot of them, with some very different takes on what to do with your life, including its anger and frustration. And one of them is about an actual folk hero. First, Soul Kitchen, directed by Fatih Akin. This movie's about Zenos, played by Adam Busdukas, a German-Greek guy from Hamburg who owns a rundown diner in an old warehouse. One day he's with his rich girlfriend at a big family dinner in a fancy restaurant when something happens. A customer has complained that his soup is cold. No big deal, except the soup is cold gazpacho. So when the customer demands he heat it up in the microwave, the chef goes ballistic and comes out of the kitchen brandishing a cleaver. Zenos witnesses all this and hires him on the spot as a diner chef. The movie, aside from all the great food shots of chopping and stirring, is really about poor Zenos' misadventures as he tries to get his restaurant and his life back in order. He has to deal with his icy girlfriend, who is relocated to Shanghai, his brother, who's a thief and a gambler on day parole who wants a job but doesn't want to work, Socrates, an old bearded guy in a Greek fisherman's cap who's building a wooden boat behind the restaurant, and the various city zoning officials and real estate speculators who seem to be teaming up to make his life miserable. And then there's his bad back. It's unusual to see German movies with multi-ethnic casts and storylines. That's an interesting change. And this cute, light German comedy has lots of scenes of diverse characters rolling with the punchlines, but eventually exploding. It's an okay movie, not a great one, with lots of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Actually, Soul Kitchen feels most like a TV sitcom pilot, introducing all the madcap friends of the beleaguered main character who you can enjoy watching in his crazy musical restaurant week after week. The next movie, a biopic, is a lot more powerful. Mérine, Killer Instinct, directed by Jean-François Richer, screenplay by Abdul Raouf Dafri, who wrote last year's amazing prison gangster flick, Un Prophète, A Prophet. Jacques Mérine, not so well known here, is a full-fledged folk hero in France, and maybe in Quebec. After serving his term with the French army in Algeria in the late 50s, that's France's Vietnam War, he has to move back in with his parents. His mother is demanding, his father is conciliatory, and he hates them both. Jacques, or Jackie as he likes to be called, wants pride. He wants glory. He becomes a burglar and a thief of some renown. He can talk himself out of trouble. No prison can hold him. He's quick with a gun, and even quicker when there's a chance of meeting a pretty girl. He rides sports cars, dresses in suits, and keeps a narrow military mustache. But when his beautiful and fiery-tempered Spanish wife Sophia leaves him after a violent incident, he takes off for greener passengers. Surprise, he's in Montreal in the late 60s with a Bonnie to his Clyde, Jeanne Schneider. And he gets to share Molson X stubbies and balls at Canadian Club with his new best buddy, Jean-Paul Mercier from the FLQ. And when they end up in a horrific Quebec penitentiary, they vow, dehors ou mort. Get out or die trying. Mérine is extremely rich and epic in its scope, from the slick period scenes of the Parisian underworld of the 60s to the vast hyper-realism of Montreal with forests, bridges, shipyards, and apartment complexes. It all rings true. The acting, especially the wiry, charismatic star Vincent Cassel, who's made a career playing fighters and anti-heroes, is absolutely amazing. Gérard Depardieu as his gangster boss, Roy Dupuis as his Quebec friend, and the two female leads, Cécile de France and Alina Anaya, as two of his lovers, they're all just picture perfect. This is a great look at an extremely violent gangster who captured the imaginations of a generation. The movie also gives, for the first time, a stark look at the Canadian prison system of the 70s. Really shocking stuff. I do recommend this movie. Just be aware it's quite violent, and it only covers the first part of Mérine's life. Mérine, Public Enemy Number 1, that's the second part, is coming soon. Also opening this weekend is a thriller I saw last year at the Toronto Film Festival, The Disappearance of Alice Creed, directed by Jay Blakeson. Alice Creed is a young woman who's been kidnapped, gagged, bound, and tied to a bed by two masked men. They have a foolproof plan to hide her in a high-rise apartment without her ever knowing who they are. The plan is flawless until it begins to fall apart. Is she really a total stranger? How can the two men trust each other? And how innocent is the young woman? As the three players in this intrigue shift alliance, blame, and loyalty, the power equation constantly changes. But isn't there some sort of unwritten rule about movies and the number of plot turns you can have? Spindly plot legs can't support a story with too many plot reversals, and this one has too many to count. It's good in that it has a tiny cast, just the three of them, and I really like seeing Eddie Marson. He was the loopy driving teacher from Happy-Go-Lucky last year. En-ra-ha! That guy. So the acting is better than the story. It's not terrible, but not great either. But if you like British director Danny Boyle's first movie, Shallow Grave, you'll appreciate this one. And if these three movies aren't enough, there's also Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work, directed by Ricky Stern and Anne Sundberg, a tell-all documentary about the famous stand-up comic and talk show host. This is a really funny movie, with lots of the comedian's offensive one-liners. You also get to see her behind the scenes reconstructing her face and body for the audiences and her personal struggles with her husband, daughter, agent, and career. As someone who's not a fan of Joan Rivers and never actually seen her before, even on a talk show, the movie was surprisingly entertaining. I don't like celebrity culture at all, but this is one good, funny documentary. I don't know if Joan Rivers can ever be called a folk hero, but she is a real piece of work. Finally, for people who love horror, cult, action, and science fiction movies, you're in for a treat. It's time again for the Toronto After Dark Festival. 1 week full of all the ninjas, zombies, aliens, robots, and monsters you can stand. I haven't seen any of the movies playing, but the titles say it all. Robo Geisha, Alien vs. Ninja, The Human Centipede, and a new remake of the revenge classic, I Spit on Your Grave. Whoa. More scary movie than you can shake a stick at. And there's a special appearance by none other than Eli Roth, who directed Hostel and was in Inglourious Basterds, along with the cast of his latest production, The Last Exorcism. This is the kind of festival that attaches short films before the main feature, something that should be done more often. Lots of things to see in mid-August. Just Review today talked about Mérine, Killer Instinct, Soul Kitchen, Joan Rivers, A Piece of Work, and The Disappearance of Alice Creed, all opening today, check your local listings, and the After Dark Festival, showing all week at the Bloor Cinema. Check online at torontoafterdark.com. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies each Friday morning on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.